Now, this is a very intriguing story within a story, really. I'm always intrigued by the catalyst that sets a person on a particular path in their life. Sometimes it can be a small incident or a major change that creates influence on a new career, a journey, or a completely new life altogether. Well, my next guest is author Kate Murdoch, a remarkable life story of her own, and harnessed that experience to guide her as an author of a new book. Now, the book is set in the 16th century, but it has parallels with Kate's life, so we thought it'd be great to have a chat to her. The book is called Stone Circle. That'll be released next week, but I'm very happy to say that Kate Murdoch's on the line. G'day.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for talking to us. And here's the thing. Your early life was a struggle. Hey, I take it, a preemie baby back in the 70s, and I'm from the 70s, and if you're an unmarried mum back then, times are pretty tough for you.
Absolutely. There was such a stigma then, and I think for my mother it was a little bit worse because she was from an immigrant Catholic family, so she actually kept the entire thing secret from them for years. So.
And adoptions, I'm pretty sure, were at their peak in the 70s, early 70s, weren't they?
Yes, that's right. In 1972, there were 10,000 adoptions, and the figure started to drop straight after that when I was born. And it's just incredible how prevalent it was at that time.
Yeah, so then life becomes pretty tough for you, Kate, surely.
Well, actually, once I was adopted,
it was okay.
A pretty good life.
Yeah.
I had very supportive parents. They didn't always maybe understand my creativity, but they 100% encouraged me and got behind me. And I've just been incredibly lucky with my parents.
Yeah, but that thought in your mind, what eventually led you to wanting to find your birth mum?
Well, I think there was always a curiosity there. I'm a curious person, and a lot of creative people are, but actually it was her that instigated the contact. Tried when I was 8, and my mother said no, and then she sort of tried again, and we started corresponding, and yeah, sort of went from there.
Yeah. Did finding out about your past eventually help to answer some questions for you?
Most definitely. It was like discovering the missing pieces of the puzzle for me. Particularly in the area of my creativity, which is such a strong part of who I am.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was wonderful.
Okay, now the creativity, and we'll talk about the book in a tick, but when did the writing start?
It started 7 years ago, but although when I was a child, I always wrote, and in fact, when I was 13 years old, I wrote a manuscript based on a Holocaust novel that I read at the time, and it was full of cliches and not very good, but the drive to write was certainly there, and after school, I went in the direction of painting, and that sort of took over for a very long time. I was exhibiting for 14 years, and then writing started to sort of creep back in, you know, 7 years ago. And I think the reason for that is because by that time, I sort of had the life experience to draw from.
Yeah, but let me say this, and I've never written one, even though people keep telling me I should. I'm sure writing a book is very different from just going back to writing. There has to be a process involved in that, surely.
Absolutely, and it was a huge learning curve for me. In fact, the first book that I wrote, I now don't think very highly of. It's up on the back burner.
Yeah.
There was some interest in it from a publisher, but yes, no, I wouldn't want to put my name to that one. And so, yeah, I went back and studied and I, you know, did various things. I was on a HarperCollins website, Orthonomy, which was like a huge slush pile of different aspiring writers critiquing one another. So, yeah, I did a number of things to sort of get up to speed.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to put the Stone Circle in my list of things to read when I'm on holidays. And the thing is, folks, this is an imagined work of historical fiction, and it's set in the 16th century. So tell the listeners how this is some sort of a catalyst for your life in the beginning.
Yes, well, Antonius, my main character,
because
of his talent, he's actually able to inhabit two worlds. And the first one is the one of the life that he grew up in. And the other one is the world of magic and alchemy. And at that time, Renaissance society was very rigid, but he's actually able to redefine himself. And this links to adopted people because they're self-invented. Right. And the reason they're self-invented is because from an early age, they really don't have the clues about who they are, like most other people do. And so they actually have to figure it out for themselves.
Yeah. Do you identify with that period again? How did that period pop into your mind as a catalyst for a book?
Well, I studied a lot of Renaissance art at art school, so I knew a bit about the period, but the main reason was because at that time in Italy, there was a lot of exploration into alchemy, and this was a subject that I was really fascinated by and I wanted to write about.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's my wife will tell you anything that's associated with history, particularly the 16th century, because it was a very different time and human beings were different and the way they approached the world was very different. So making that comparison between then and now, I think, is fascinating.
Yes, well, it really was. And even in terms of alchemy itself, that was a combination of science and philosophy.
Yes.
Well, of course, these days, you know, everything has its distinct category and that just wouldn't happen. So everything was a bit more blurred in that way. Mm.
Yes, it was blurred, but it was also incredibly brilliant. I mean, you would have heard the story, and of course everyone just had their mouths hanging open, dropping on the floor when someone was prepared to pay $500 million for a Da Vinci painting. But, I mean, it's an awful lot of money to pay for. It is incredible, but, I mean, that's 16th, well, that's 15th century, but it's not 16th. And it's those human beings, I mean, they have to have been just quite absolutely brilliant. And you think about it in terms of now, and it's extraordinary people no matter what century they came from.
Exactly. There was incredible brilliance, but it also makes me wonder whether their training was a bit more intensive.
Mm.
I think it must have been because, art was actually seen as more of a trade, like they were like artisans.
Yes.
Rather than, now it's sort of glorified as being this amazing creative thing. But back then they really were artisans. So I think they would have had to work at it since they were small children even.
Absolutely. And it occurs to me, too, that back then, I mean, obviously there was no television, tablets, mobile phones or any of that. And their time was probably, as you say, devoted to training, honing their art and producing these pieces of sheer magnificence because they are. I mean, and it cannot even be replicated now. I mean, that's what always amazes me about that period.
Yeah, it's quite extraordinary, and I think people try very hard. There are artists who try and sort of do that, but I don't think they succeed. I think they have a dreamy quality to them, a sort of a surreal, just this, it's almost an otherworldly beauty.
Yes. Yeah, that's a great way to put it, and that's why it fascinates me, that period. Well, it just sounds terrific. So, folks, let us recommend it to you. It's called The Stone Circle, released, today, isn't it, Kate, or next week?
Actually, December 1st.
December 1st, so next week, end of next week. And a great pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for chatting to us, Kate.
To talk to you too. Thanks for having me. And if people want to find out more about it,
yes.
I also have a website, which is katemurdochauthor.com.
katemurdochauthor.com. That's easy.
Yes.
Thanks very much, Kate.
Thanks so much, Tim.
Yeah, The Stone Circle. And, you know, it just occurred to me then when you talk about that painting by Da Vinci, Salvador Mundi, which is a painting of Christ, basically. And apparently, and someone paid the best part of $600 million for it. Now, the thought was behind everyone's thinking on it. Is he, her, whoever it might be, a collector or an investor? And that's the thing, probably an investor who's thinking, well, I'll pay that for it now, 10 or 20 years from now. This is someone with an awful lot of money. It could be worth another $200, $300 million because it's a Da Vinci and a Da Vinci original. But apparently it's quite small, not as small as the Mona Lisa, but a similar sort of a painting to the Mona Lisa. And as everyone will tell you who's been, and I'm sure many of you have, when you go and see the Mona Lisa, it's tiny. This tiny little painting behind a glass case, and you're not allowed to get close to it, obviously, because it's very fragile. And Salvador Mundi, I suppose, would be the same, but it's in private hands now. It'll surface again. We might not be around to see it when it does, but that's the thought. It's probably an investor. But in a remarkable period of time, that the 16th century, remarkable. And, of course, you also had the extraordinary Elizabeth I in that period. And there's a remarkable woman, full stop, no matter what century she was in. So interesting, isn't it? That sounds like a good book to read. Kate Murdoch and The Stone Circle.